Folks, welcome back to Indaba After. This is Chris once again. Hello, folks, and welcome back to Chris White Africa here on the Indaba Africa channel. Today is May 6th, 2021. It's a Thursday. Lovely weather here in central Pennsylvania. A bit nippy, but it's my kind of weather. Viking weather here in central Pennsylvania. Temperatures in the high 50s, low 60s. Quite lovely outside. Beautiful sunny day. Welcome to Indaba African News of the Day. Let's get started with the headlines from across Africa and around the world. Suspended African National Congress Secretary General Ace Magashule defiantly, after being booted from office, issued a suspension of the African National Congress's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, who also happens to be the president of South Africa. He violated every single restriction placed upon him by the National Working Committee, which said that he could not do anything as an official role or even talk about his suspension. Yet, a mere 2 or 3 hours after he was handed his letter, Ace Magashule stepped forward. So it's on like junior rodeo, ladies and gentlemen. It's on like junior radio. In response, the African National Congress is hot under the collar about Magashule's cheek. Financial Mail's Rob Rose pens an op-ed piece about the car powership deal, calling it, this is grand corruption. The African National Congress seems to be fixated on owning everything in South Africa. The latest is the use of state funds to interfere with private enterprise, funding a company called FiberPoint to deliver low-cost, uncapped Wi-Fi service in rural areas for just 89 rand per month. Strange how this only comes about not in 1994, not in 2000, not in 2010, not 94 because there's no Wi-Fi back then. Let's just start at 2000. We had Wi-Fi then. Why not 2000, 2010, 2015, 2020? Why today? Well, could it be because Starlink is going to offer services to rural South Africans and the ANC can't steal from Starlink, although they're trying? Maybe that's what's going on. In more South African news, Blaise Nzimande, the communist, who is the Minister for Education, announces two new universities to be formed in South Africa this year. One currency for Africa, and could that currency be a cryptocurrency? That's a conversation taking place today. And a Malian woman has given birth to nonuplets in Morocco. I didn't stumble there. I didn't stutter. Nonuplets. Nine babies. She having children or a litter of puppies? Nine babies. This woman gave birth to nine babies in Morocco from Mali. Kenya and Tanzania have thawed their relations over their border and are improving diplomatic relations between the two. Mogadishu has restored diplomatic ties to Kenya after a six-month hiatus, claiming that the Nairobi officials were interfering in Somali internal affairs. They've restored diplomatic relations. All of this comes as Kenya has been easing the lockdown restrictions, making transit across borders even easier. So this is probably good news for people trying to transit between Tanzania, Kenya, and Somalia and Kenya. The oldest human burial has been discovered in East Africa, apparently 78,000 years old, a toddler buried in a cave in East Africa with a pillow. A sexual offense bill in Uganda is causing quite an uproar as people come out against the bill. Ostensibly, it's meant to prevent gender-based violence, but there are clauses in the bill that are making a lot of people quite angry, including the LGBTQ community as well. And SpaceX. Well, I got this one wrong. SpaceX's SN15 Starship launch successfully launched, and it came down, and contrary to my prediction of it going kaboom, this one landed successfully, although it looks like it's slightly off the mark, but nonetheless, success for SpaceX on SN15, finally landing successfully one of its Starship prototypes. Congratulations, SpaceX. Well done. We're all excited about it. Very exciting. SpaceX is moving and going places. You know, I have to say this for Elon Musk. Starlink and SpaceX are getting all the attention. Nobody's even paying attention to Tesla anymore, as it quietly moves operations from People's Republic of California to Texas. Scotland votes today for a new parliament, and obviously one of the topics that's under consideration, why people want a new parliament, they want to be able to have another referendum and break away from the United Kingdom. France will transfer 5 billion euros as part of the CFA, the Central Franc Zone reform that's taking place for West African countries that rely on the CFA. And Jeff Bezos sells off another $2.5 billion of his Amazon stock before the Manchurian cadaver can confiscate it with increased capital gains taxes. So look at all these rich people taking advantage of their connections and knowledge already, selling off their stock. Last year, Bezos sold $10 billion. So he's made a cool $12.5 billion off of selling Amazon stock in the past 12 months. Some of that must go to taxes, but once the Manchurian cadaver gets his hands on it, if Congress approves it, we will see that the rates for taxation will climb exorbitantly, and he would have lost half that fortune. As it is, he loses a smaller portion. Well, those are the headlines today, folks. Let me get into detail on each of these stories as we go forward. Once again, welcome back to the program. Today is the 6th of May, 2021. And let's get started right off the bat here with this whole story with Ace Magashule. The African National Congress, or better known to me as the Clown Car Show of South Africa, is utterly ludicrous. Yesterday, the African National Congress National Working Committee issued a letter in which they told Ace Magashule that he had been suspended since May 3rd. Gave him four restrictions, things he's not allowed to do, including represent the party or talk about his suspension on any fora. And what does he do? A couple hours later, he issues a suspension for the president of the ANC, although he's not the secretary general. The cheek is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Outwitted Magashule won't go without a bang. Suspends Ramaphosa in ANC staring match. There's a lot of speculation on Wednesday evening about whether a leaked letter from ANC Secretary General to President Ramaphosa was real. Ah, Magashule is facing criminal charges regarding a $255 million Free State asbestos tender. One of the many questionable deals under his premiership. That's the only one he's charged with, though. And as a prime candidate for the ANC's step-aside rule, which essentially says any member facing criminal charges should vacate their positions while their cases continue. In a leaked letter, Deputy Secretary General Jesse Duterte, it was released. It's not leaked. What is the Daily Maverick saying? That letter was released publicly by the ANC. It wasn't leaked. Wow. Anyway, so on Wednesday, Magashule's letter to Ramaphosa, same day he was suspended, was, oh, that's the one that's leaked. Okay. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. He told Ramaphosa he was also suspended from the ANC due to claims about the funds he raised for his CR17 campaign to become president of the party. Magashule told the country's president, "You are hereby temporarily suspended with effect from May 3rd from all activities of the ANC, pending all the internal process of the ANC." Oh my gosh, this is just a clown car show, folks. This is absolute, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is banana republic nonsense. This is absolutely crazy, but it is the African National Congress, the angry, naughty children who run South Africa. And speaking of the angry, naughty children, the party is up in arms. They are calling for discipline as defiant Magashule claims right to suspend Ramaphosa. Well, I have a few recommendations, folks. For starters, fine him. Actual money. How about 10 million rand? That's a good start for his actions. And then if you fine him, whether he pays it or not, then you boot him from the party. Let him go form his own party and suck away more support from the ANC. It's entertaining, to say the least, those sitting on the sidelines. But it is quite a shocking, sad commentary on South Africa and the current state of politics there that this sort of nonsense occurs. But you see, the angry, naughty children are not about governing South Africa for South Africans. They're about pilfering South Africa for cadres, and that's the problem. Rob Rose from Financial Mail has penned this op-ed in which he says car power deal is a grand corruption. A bribe was allegedly being offered even as the State Capture Commission was hearing evidence of corruption. One thing you must understand, there's a system in this country, and if you don't work in accordance with that system, you will fail even if your project is the best. Those are the words of an official from Gwede Mantashe's Mineral Resources Energy Department uttered to DNC or DNG Energy CEO Aldworth Malati at Cream Restaurant in Pretoria Monday, November 2nd. There you go. So basically, it's a corrupt enterprise, the ANC, and if you don't play by the rules, you won't win. So basically, what is that saying? That's code for you're going to have to give me some money or you are not going to get the tender. Yeah, we know how the ANC works. These people ought to be bounced on their ear. They should receive no support from any South Africans unless the South Africans are corrupt and they want to be part of the enterprise. It's unbelievable what they've gotten away with in South Africa. Meanwhile, in yet another effort to ostensibly provide a service for South Africans, a service that the government has no responsibility and no right to be involved in, the ANC is now using state funding to fund a private enterprise to compete with private enterprise. This favored company, and you want to lay dollars to donuts, and it's a BEE, Black Economic Empowerment Certified Company? Guaranteed it is, otherwise wouldn't get a tender. So this company, called FiberPoint, plans to deliver internet to rural communities for 89 Rand per month, uncapped. You want to bet how many people actually ever get internet from this scam? This is the latest government-backed startup to offer uncapped internet from 89 a month, according to Business Tech. The Technology Innovation Agency, an entity of the Department of Science and Innovation, says it's funding a Gauteng-based startup called FiberPoint to help provide cheap internet to South Africans. The project is an alternative antenna-based high-speed fixed internet solution with a focus being on low-income communities. HomePoint is an innovative last-mile connection solution that has the potential to bring down internet costs to as low as 89, said the TIA. Ah, The technology has been developed with key focus on townships, peri-urban small towns, and closing digital divide in underserved areas. Well, this is not exactly new, folks. WiMAX, which serves rural communities, has been around for nearly 20 years. WiMAX is a fantastic technology which brings broadband capability. So why wasn't this done before? And why is the state funding a private entity? Yet more chance for corruption and graft in South Africa. It's disturbing to say the least. And the communist, Blaise Nzimande, has announced that South Africa, which can't even fund its existing universities, which accepts students with a 30% passing grade in entrance exams to enter university, so basically functionally illiterate people can enter university, yet a student, because he speaks Afrikaans and happens to be an Afrikaner, scores 98% average or 97% average on his matrix and is told he's not competitive to enter universities in the Western Cape. Yet people with a 30% grade enter. So the universities with functionally illiterate, ill-prepared students are going to have two more universities. Blaise Nzimande said that they're going to open up two universities this year, and they'll focus on data science, machine learning, artificial intelligence, blockchain, robotics, and hydrogen-powered technologies, including smart transportation and logistics systems. It sounds to me less like a university and more like a vocational school, a vo-tech school. Those aren't academic disciplines per se, most of them. They're parts of other academic disciplines. Just shows you how little Blaise Nzimande understands about education. Those are not disciplines. They are task within disciplines. Yeah, I really don't see this happening, new universities being open. Absolutely crazy. Meanwhile, one currency for Africa. That's a conversation that's on the table once again. First off, without even reading anything from this article to you, I'll tell you this is a foolhardy idea. It's clueless. There's no continuity whatsoever amongst African economies. We've seen the difficulty that West African countries have in maintaining the CFA franc zone, especially since it was pegged to the French franc and then the euro afterwards. Only now are they coming onto their own after 50 years in an effort to come up with a currency just for those countries. And there's a competing currency in West Africa as well that still does not exist. It seems highly unlikely. So the discussion is, if it's one currency for Africa, could it be a cryptocurrency? Why would you create a cryptocurrency only for Africa? Why not use an existing currency or create a cryptocurrency in Africa for the world? Why restrict it to Africa? This is the sort of short-sighted, non-strategic thinking that takes place across the continent on a daily basis. It's frustrating. But then we have the same problems on this side of the Atlantic with Manchurian cadaver running this country. His short-sighted, non-common sense ideas don't help us. A single currency for Africa will make it easier to trade and invest across the continent. Not really. It will remove currency fluctuation, but it won't make it easier to trade. But because all countries are unlikely to agree on a central bank or monetary policy, it will likely have to be a decentralized cryptocurrency. This is the view of a Montegre Capital founder, venture capitalist, and former FMB CEO Michael Jordan. Jordan said inter-Africa trade between countries in Africa and not foreign aid is the key to sustainable development. On that point, we do agree. We do agree. Inter-African trade was around 2% from 2015 to 2017. America, Asia, and Europe, in comparison, had intercontinental trade of 47%, 61%, and 67%. I have been beating this drum for years about the lack of trade. It takes four times as long to get something from Nairobi to Durban as it does to get it from Chuanggu in China or Hong Kong to Nairobi or to South Africa. And it cost demonstrably more because of artificial barriers, because of a lack of proper transport, and just because of the nature of the market. Very few markets within Africa are combined. One exception is not SADC, but SACU, the Southern African Customs Union, between Botswana, Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland, and South Africa. That one actually works. It's the world's oldest custom union. Actually has a positive impact, sharing of revenues, most of which comes from South Africa, and some used to come from Botswana, but not so much anymore, and shared equally amongst the partners based on their size. But SADC itself isn't necessarily a great trading bloc. The best example of a trading bloc within Africa at the moment is the EAC, the East African Community, which has dramatically been increasing trade amongst its partners over the past 5 years. But that's an exception. That is an exception. That is not the rule in Africa. Intra-Africa trade is abysmal. Africans don't trade with other Africans. Why? Well, gee, if you live in Ghana and you produce cocoa, do you think Cote d'Ivoire is going to buy your cocoa? No, because they produce cocoa. If you're selling tropical timber and you're from Gabon, do you think a lot of people in Cameroon are going to buy your tropical timber? Not very many, because they have the same products. When you compete against another country with the same products, it doesn't give you any sort of advantage unless you can beat them on a comparative basis. And as I mentioned, a Malian woman went to Morocco. She was evacuated there because of the sensitivity of the fact that she was carrying 9 infants in her womb. 9. The non-nutuplets. A 25-year-old Malian woman was giving birth to 9 babies, 2 more than doctors had detected during scans. Well, there's so many in there, they couldn't even see them all. Halima Sissa gave birth to the non-nutuplets in Morocco. Mali's government flew her there for specialists. She's very happy. He's very happy, her husband told the BBC. My wife and the babies, 5 girls and 4 boys, are doing well. A woman who had 8 babies in the U.S. in 2009 holds a Guinness record for the most children delivered a single birth to survive. 2 sets of non-nutuplets have previously been recorded. Gee, many crickets. Unbelievable. Kenya and Tanzania are easing cross-border business rules as relations thaw. This is a positive development with the passing of Tanzania's president recently and the installation of the vice president's president. Things seem to be on the upswing for Tanzania around the world and certainly in relations with its neighbors. Also in how it's handling the pandemic, it's getting some positive reviews with the new president, one of Africa's few female heads of state. And Somalia is also restoring diplomatic relations with Kenya after nearly 6 months. The Somali government suspended relations with Kenya over accusations that Nairobi had been involved in Somalia's internal affairs. This is a positive development. It's not healthy that Somalia doesn't have diplomatic relations with its neighboring state of Kenya, which is a regional hegemon along with Ethiopia. And the world's oldest human remains, burial that is, oldest burial I should say, have been detected in East Africa in a cave. 78,000 years ago, someone buried a toddler with their pillow. And there's a drawing of it. A toddler laid to rest with her head on a pillow in a cave in eastern Kenya is thought to be the oldest human burial ever found in Africa. The remains of the child, who was between 2.5 and 3 years old, date back 78,000 years and were found buried at the mouth of the Panga ya Saida cave, according to new research published in the journal Nature. That's an artist's interpretation. The child was laid to rest in a cave 78,000 years ago. Analysis of the cave sediment, the bones suggest the burial was intentional and perhaps involved the child's wider community and funeral rites, the authors of the study say, demonstrating the humans at that time were capable of symbolic thought and complex social behavior. The arrangement of the surviving bone fragments showed that the child was placed lying gently on their right side with their legs folded and drawn up toward the chest. The researchers also believe that the tiny body was tightly wrapped in a shroud, perhaps leaves or animal skins, and the head was supported by something made from a perishable material, possibly a pillow. Lovely, lovely. Shows human communities have been doing social interaction for a very long time and probably will change some of the cultural anthropology views on how human species developed. In Uganda, there is uproar about a sex bill legislation that's taking place. A lot of people angry about it, quite an uproar. The sexual offenses bill seeks to address a wide range of issues from rape to prostitution, but gay rights activists fear the new law amounts to a backdoor reintroduction of the discredited 2013 anti-homosexuality bill. Parliament on Monday passed the sexual offenses bill, which contains a clause to criminalize same-sex relationships. The bill prescribes a 5-year jail term for anyone guilty of same-sex acts and awaits the signature of President Yoweri Museveni. For many, the bill sounds like a repeat of similar law passed in Uganda in Parliament 2013, which, however, was annulled by the country's Supreme Court on technicalities. Yes, that bill is what led to a diplomatic row between Barack Obama and Yoweri Museveni, both of whom making accusations. Of course, Barack Obama was deflecting attention from his failing presidency and his total failures by sticking his nose into Uganda's domestic affairs and harping about that law, which was basically an anti-homosexuality law. It criminalized behavior. It criminalized people who didn't even commit behavior. If you were a medical service professional and you became aware of someone having same sex, well, let me just give you a what if. This is a true story. What if? So let's say you're a nurse and a patient comes in, they're ill. You run a battery test for malaria. You also do an HIV test. You get the results back. From the rapid test, it says they're positive. So you take a blood test and tell them they got a positive on that test. We're going to test your blood. They come back a couple days later and you tell the person, in fact, that they are HIV positive. That's a tough thing to tell someone. But when you tell them that, because people react differently to this news. What if the person, it's a man, and he says, oh, no, what am I going to tell Steve? Well, then you suspect or know that the person is likely a homosexual. Under that bill from 2013 that was signed into law by Museveni but later annulled by the Supreme Court, if you did not report that person to the authorities, you, as a medical professional, were subject to 7 years imprisonment for not committing a crime. Now, that bill was roundly discredited, and now it looks like it's back again. Uganda is trying to pass this bill again in a different form. That bill, there was a second bill that was anti-prostitution back then. So I really don't understand why Uganda needs another anti-prostitution bill. They already have one on the books. They just don't enforce the laws. And SpaceX, Elon Musk's Starship SN15 successfully lands in one piece. And a roar went up from the crowd. Congratulations to SpaceX and SN15. My prediction of kaboom was wrong. I'm glad it was wrong. But well, we have to say that SpaceX gave us a lot of entertainment with Starship 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10, and 12. They were pretty entertaining watching them blow up on reentry. Two of them being truly spectacular. Clearly, SpaceX has learned from previous lessons and they were prepared for this. So now with Starship having successfully launched, attained altitude, returned to the Earth after rotating, and then successfully rotating again to land on the surface of the Earth, we'll see where space travel advances to from now. Congratulations to SpaceX, which had a really good week this past week. In Scotland, the parliament is being voted upon today by Scots voters. There you go. New independence referendum at heart of contest as Scots vote for new parliament. Now, there continues to be talk in Scotland of breaking away from the United Kingdom. Really don't see the utility of this. The Scottish nationalism really is off the mark here. You'll notice if you look at the Brexit vote that a lot of people in Scotland favored remaining in the European Union against their own best interest. And now it sounds like people still want to break away from the United Kingdom, again, against their own best interest. It's not as if Scotland's oppressed. When you go to Scotland, it's almost like being in another country. So I don't know what they're so angry about. And France will set aside 5 billion euros in the realignment of the Central African franc, CFA. France has begun the process of transferring 5 billion euros to the accounts of the Banque Centrale des États de l'Afrique de l'Ouest, the BCEAO. That's a mouthful. Paris' decision comes within the framework of the reform for the CFA franc, which will be replaced by the ECO. The ECO is the currency I referred to earlier that has been on the books for years and has gone nowhere. It was supposed to be introduced in 2020, and it was not. And so we're waiting to see. During a visit to Abidjan from the 29th to 30th of April, Bruno Le Maire, France's Minister of the Economy and Finance, reassured Cote d'Ivoire's President Ouattara that the CFA franc reform agreements approved in December 2019 would be implemented in their entirety. As Le Maire tweeted just after his visit, the end of my stay in Cote d'Ivoire, an example of the strength and partnership between our two countries and the success that we wish for the continent. Well, whatever France wants or wishes for the continent, one thing's for certain. The West Africa zone would love to move beyond being reliant on the euro, being backed by the euro. They want their own currency. Well, Jeff Bezos, taking advantage of tax laws, sells off another $2.5 billion worth of Amazon stock. Did you see that coming? Did the stock drop because so much was flooding on the market? Last year, he made $10 billion by selling it. Now, why is Jeff Bezos selling his Amazon stock? Well, because he's no fool. Rich people know the secrets. They know the people. They move in the circles. Bezos owns the Washington Post. And he knows politicians in D.C. And he knows that they're coming for my wealth, your wealth, everybody's wealth. Anybody that makes a capital gain, they want to get you. They want to fleece you and steal it in Washington so they can misuse it and favor their favored class. Very much like the African National Congress. So Bezos is selling off his stock now to make the cash and stick it all in the bank so that when the rates go up from 20% or so to 43% or more for capital gains, he will have already made money. So he'll make twice as much money, essentially. There you go. Jeff Bezos sells $2.5 billion of Amazon, and he says more is coming. Yep, he sold 739,000 shares this week. According to the Securities and Exchange Commission, he plans to sell as many as 2 million shares in a separate file. The world's richest man continues to hold more than 10% of Amazon, the primary source of his $191 billion fortune. In the 15 years after Amazon went public, he sold about a fifth of the online retailer for roughly $2 billion. The value of his stake has ballooned in recent years to such an extent he can now sell relatively small amounts for billions of dollars. Little change this year after rallying 76% in 2020, the stock. But the owner of Amazon and Blue Origin, as well as the Washington Post, Blue Origin being another space company competing with Elon Musk and Boeing, is not an idiot. He's making his money now before they can get him. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Indaba Africa News of the Day. Today, the 6th of May, 2021. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you here next time on Indaba Africa News of the Day.